FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. On this Thursday, Sean, Dalton, Kelly, Dr. Bill, Kane with traffic, and of course y'all at 343-0106, 343-0106. By the way, too, if you didn't catch Captain Bobby's fishing report, you can always go to our website and get it through a couple different places, the podcast tab, also the sports and outdoors tab there, and I've linked it through on our social media platforms, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Now, we don't talk about that Facebook page as much. Mike Ward and I do on Saturdays, but that's our Outdoors Facebook page. Go over there and like that page, and you'll get the link for that podcast, as well as going to the Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, so, no excuses. You have to listen to it.
And there are a ton. And you know, by the way, I've been saying how happy I am and how great y'all are. All the podcast listening that goes on with this station, and so much of the Thursday listening goes on with people getting the fishing report from Captain Bobby. So go back and check it, share it, do all that kind of stuff.
And for people who are planning a trip here, they listen to that. They understand what to do, where to go, and who to know.
Yeah, just follow him around.
Right? Hop online as well.
That's right. That's right. Also, heads up, it is the last day of the week to get in on that $6.99 apps and the dollar off drafts at the Causeway location of the Original Oyster House. It's Monday through Thursday each week they run this deal. Now, if you choose to go Friday, Saturday, Sunday, go, because it's a great place, either location of the Original Oyster House. But Causeway folks, what's up, Causeway folks? Causeway folks, $6.99 apps, dollar off drafts, Causeway location from 5 to 7 every Monday through Thursday afternoon. So y'all check out more details online at originaloysterhouse.com. And on the way, too, Rob Holbert's going to join us. He's with Lanyap. And, speaking of Twitter, so I posted that up on Twitter. Speaking of Twitter, so here we go. So this is... I could say one rant, but that would be a lie. I have multiple rants, but a rant du jour here, and it's funny because I have the story about this up on Twitter. I'm waiting for them to bring it down. This Twitter now saying it's you can't use, okay, Twitter not allowing to promote, you know how you have the promote button?
Yes.
Because I'm cheap, I don't do.
Yes.
All our stuff is organic, which was pretty cool, right? Mm-hmm. It's y'all that make our things on social media happen.
Fair square.
But it says Twitter is not allowing us to promote any tweets, and this is coming from Center for Immigration Studies. Twitter's not allowing us to promote any tweets, including the phrase illegal alien or illegal aliens, citing it is hateful content. However, the phrase illegal aliens has been used in both federal law and the Supreme Court.
Mm.
So this is where we get into that. I mean, listen, they are a private company. They can do whatever they want at Twitter. I mean, I'm going to defend, number one, their rights and their liberties to do that. But when you start, this emperor has no clothes stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you right now, y'all remember that? Y'all remember that when we were kids and you read about the emperor has no clothes and everybody pretends how great his clothes look and the term is an accurate term. Now, you can say, oh, well, somebody said it in a mean way. Well, somebody can take the word cat and use it in a mean way. It is a word that... But, I mean, it is a... And it's one I used. I feel when you say undocumented immigrants, I mean, it's... You're saying the same thing. If you choose to say undocumented immigrants, fine.
You're just saying it in a more politically correct terminology.
But illegal alien is not like... jerk or something right. Like that. It's not it is a accurate term to describe it is somebody who is an alien to this, in other words, not a citizen, right? That doesn't mean like the Predator movie that's coming back out. They're an alien. They're alien to this. They are not a citizen and they're here illegally. They crossed the border to get into our country. Wherever they came from, whatever border they crossed, they did it illegally. It is a descriptive term. Mm-hmm. So for the word police out there to jump on using the term illegal alien or legal aliens, I think don't they have anything better to do with their time?
Well, it's written into law, like you said earlier, and this just goes to show that huge pushback from a lot of people that are on Twitter, the pushback against Jack, the Twitter founder, remember, is it Dorsey?
Dorsey.
Yeah. Jack Dorsey. Mm-hmm. The pushback against him for not immediately suspending or banning Alex Jones like Facebook and YouTube did, the pushback must have worked because they, in the same week, and I don't know how long this banning of using the term illegal aliens and things like that in the promoted tweets, but this week they also banned Alex Jones for life from Twitter. So obviously that massive pushback from people that were, I mean, some of the things they were saying about Jack were just unreal. They were treating him like he was Alex Jones for not suspending Alex Jones. It brings this whole freedom of speech thing back into the...
You're going to make me do this again.
Yes.
It is as repulsive as I find it to have to defend Alex Jones, because I've spent the last decade dealing with people calling, well, he said that, you know, there were space aliens that were controlling the White House. You know, I've had to deal with that stuff for a decade on this show. At the same time, I got to turn around and say, if you want to go down this route of picking what content that shows up on Twitter, picking what content shows up on YouTube, picking what content shows up on Facebook, and deciding what's okay and what's not, you know, they talk about that. I would say the material, let me offer this up. The material that Alex Jones puts out, the parts of it that you'll say, this is hateful content, that's hateful content, is hamstrung and made less believable by the ridiculousness of all the other. And y'all, I can go, I've got hours of audio of Alex Jones. I can play you the most ridiculous things. I know Kelly and Dalton are nodding because I've made them listen to these things in here. The ridiculousness of all the stuff he says diminishes any strength of any hate message that somebody might think is in there, compared to another message that was more polished, more refined, using other terms.
Yes.
You know, and so at that point, I do have my theory that Alex Jones is just a performance artist.
Yep.
And this is all a bit, but mm-hmm. which is one of my, I like to have a conspiracy theory about a conspiracy theorist. That's kind of my inside joke. But the idea, listen, they have, once again, I will go to the mat for Twitter and any other platform. There's a private company and they're right to just, they could take everybody with the name Sean off there. Now, it's a bad business decision, but they can do it.
This is following last week when the social media giants were in Washington, D.C.
Except for Google.
Except for Google.
Which means we had a Google search going on.
That is true, because they don't feel like the person who was there was representing the company with enough leadership. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you. I mean, if it's written into law, it's not about how we feel. It's about following what's written into law. And the beauty
is descriptive.
Correct.
I mean,
that's criminal activity. So yeah. I don't think that anyone who enters something that they should not is really caring how you're saying it, okay? If you think about it, if you're trying to be politically correct about it, and I know it was one of the issues we had to deal with when I worked in San Diego, is as to what do you call these people?
And that's fine. If somebody wants to make another name, they have a private right to decide that too.
Right.
But to try to lay this out like, oh, we've got the Center for Immigration Studies, we've got them, you know, on the ropes because they use the term illegal alien.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Y'all got nothing better?
And where was Jeeves during this big tech giants meeting last
week?
Ask
Jeeves?
Yeah,
good
where
question.
Was Ask Jeeves?
He's probably at the coffee shop with the people from MySpace.
So you give, when you treat crackpots like they're legitimate, and you ask for them to be banned, then you give them a legitimacy that they don't deserve.
Correct.
When you just ignore, it's like a three-person army. If there were a three-person army standing outside of the United States,
right.
and they were saying, we're bringing war onto the United States, we would just ignore them.
Right.
Well, you
right?
always, you give, if you give a fool a platform, they will perform.
And they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're doing it now, as Dalton described, this pendulum swinging, because people came after Twitter because they took so long to do whatever.
Right. Right.
So as often I describe in the way politics are or anything, the pendulum was probably too far one way, but now it overcorrects back the other way instead of just arriving at the middle where it should be.
Go ahead, Kelly.
Alex Jones is doing, first of all, you have to give him credit for monetizing and making big bucks off of people and their secret fears, okay? And all he's doing is talking about things that people talk about behind closed doors, and he is just putting it out there in such a way that people can nod and listen and follow along. He may or might
crack up.
Or crack up, right. He may or may not believe that, but he understands he has touched a nerve. And he is, and even getting banned from social media, it makes people want to know what he's doing. Where is he now to see the latest and greatest? That's what it's about when it comes to watching the circus perform.
The circus, I like that.
I wonder, in a market that's as wide open as the internet is, I wonder if with all of these massive social media companies taking these steps, if there won't be another one that steps in that just lets you say whatever you want.
There you go. That's the free market, right? Somebody tell Phil Collins and Genesis about the term, too, because they'll shut them down as well. Coming right back, more of Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. 92 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. By the way, our buddy Rob Holbert from Lanyap will join us here shortly. A lot to talk about with him and also with you at 343-0106, 343-0106. And text line here, let's see. Okay, Terry, good point. Terry says people who think the term illegal alien or illegal aliens only applies to Latinos or Hispanics are racist. That's true. I would say they're wrongheaded. It is a term.
It's for anyone.
It is an illegal alien, mm-hmm. wherever you come from. Mm-hmm. And if you come into our country illegally, you're a legal alien. Now, you can take any term, you know, like that and say, oh, well, that bothers me. Okay, then use another term. Mm-hmm. But to say that the folks are going to be banned on Twitter, not allowed to use a certain term because it's a hate speech. Now, number one, just factually, it's used in government, in federal law. It's used on the Supreme Court. It is an accurate representation that doesn't, I don't think, have a history of being some kind of wink, wink, nudge, nudge, racist, bigoted term. It is a description of, they're an alien. You go somewhere, if we go somewhere else, mm-hmm. right, we are an alien in that country.
Correct.
If we do it illegally, we are an illegal alien in that country.
I think it's because the states that you hear about the border crossings are, you know, predominantly, you know, America and some sort of, you know, you've got your Texas, you have your Florida, you have, even with Michigan, we have Canada, but the borders that you tend to hear about are those where predominantly there is a specific group that tends, right. that you hear about. But I have to tell you, when we worked for the American Embassy, you have to go through FBI training as a spouse, and so they tell you different things. And
oh, that's cool.
It was pretty cool. For 1 week at Quantico, and they talk about how don't get into these numbers and think that because you've heard it one way that it's appropriate. And when it came to illegal aliens, who you think are the number one leaders, it's not.
Correct.
I'm not going to tell you who they said it was at the time, but it was no one that was described as Hispanic, Latino, mm-hmm. at all.
It was Canadians, wasn't it?
But the point is, whatever group the term is applied to them,
correct.
Not because of anything how they look, it's they're in the country and they did it illegally. They didn't legally enter the country. That's it.
Well, yeah. which of the two terms do you think they're more offended by? Illegal or I think they're more offended by the term illegal than they are aliens, because I mean, no one wants to be told when they're breaking the law.
But you have to have the adjective, because an alien just means somebody who is of another nationality who's inside the borders of a country, mm-hmm. other than their own. That's it. I have friends that are aliens. You know, it's going to be a quote out of context. Space aliens that are alien. In other words, they are from the kid that I, you know, that lived in our house for his senior year of high school and then went on to University of South Alabama from Moscow, mm-hmm. right? And he's an alien, legal Russian, but yes. And somebody write something up. I was dealing with the Russians back in 1989. How about that for some deep undercover stuff? He was in the room right next to me. He's my buddy and all. But he was an alien. Mm-hmm. If I wanted to use that description, he was not illegal because he did it legally. He was in the country on the school visa and all that stuff. But he was an alien. So it's just a descriptor. I guess we could get into this if you use. All right, we have a bank robbery story, mm-hmm. right? So a bank robber. Well, then that might hurt the feelings of people that are bank robbers. Mm-hmm. And people often say, well, it's a difference of the level of law that was broken. Okay, jaywalker. Say right. Jaywalker. Somebody's mm-hmm. upset with that term, jaywalker. So do we ban using jaywalker because there's somebody like that's named Jay?
And then just...
That's bothered by, you know, that, hey, man, I hate to be... I hate to be, you know, thrown into the mix here. Jay on the text line, you say, you know, Jay.
So then using the English language, you have to come up with another term to describe what you're talking about if that ever comes up in conversation. So then jaywalker would just become another word. We would just use another word to describe a jaywalker.
It would be person...
Illegally crossing...
You couldn't use illegal.
...of the roadway.
Those things called? The crosswalk... Mm-hmm. Disregarder. Mm-hmm. Crosswalk disregarder.
Well, you know, the best way around this is to not illegally enter anything or anywhere, and then that way you don't have to worry about the terminology.
That's right. This text said, but I'm sure Twitter will allow you to promote a tweet with every vulgar, obscene curse word in it, though. Probably. Mm-hmm. Probably. And by the way, too, Ben said, Kelly just said you give a fool a platform, he will perform. She just described social media.
Yeah. Lots of fools in social media.
Okay, there we go. Terry says, they're not a bank. It's not a bank robber. It's an undocumented withdrawal. When you get to this point of ridiculousness, you undermine anything that down the road, and then Twitter, once again, Twitter, private company, do what you want, but I'm just going to call it out for what it is. But you do undermine the day somebody is using a term that could be hate speech, or, and they did a good job on Twitter of going after in waves groups that were spreading militant Islamic ideas and calling for hurt of, you know, and violence and those kind of things. If you have people on there saying they're an illegal alien, so you should go get them and smack them in the face. Okay, well, now we have an active, you know,
that's
an active
different story. Yeah.
But all they're doing is describing in their stories, okay, these are illegal aliens.
If your heart is in the right place and you're really concerned about informing the masses as to what's going on, go ahead and follow the rule of the law and follow that verbiage and you'll be A-okay. If you're trying to teach, if you're trying to inform. But, you know, with all of our warts that we have as a country, look at the fact that people are willing to try to illegally enter this country because they understand about all the opportunities that are here and all that we have. So, you know, we're like a big old family. We have our warts, we have our issues, but boy, oh boy, I mean, this still is the greatest.
The
the greatest nation of all.
I don't think they have a big illegal immigration problem into Myanmar, right? They're not going at the Syrian border. We got to crack down here, keep people from coming into Syria.
Yeah, the exact opposite.
Right. It is a tell. Oh, yeah. I mean, that used to resonate with me as a child in the 80s of how great we were, number one, getting to travel and see other places, but also realizing that other countries had their border security facing inward to keep their people. They would not let... Think about that, and Eastern Bloc nations and others, you were not allowed to. The sacrifices people did to escape places like East Germany in the old days. I mean, they told you. Can you imagine the feeling of being told you're not allowed to leave your country? That puts the willies on me.
And that's why so many people that have immigrated to the United States that are from just the worst of possible situations, that's why they realize what we have here. And that's what a lot of Americans, especially so many that are, you know, against using terms like this, Americans have become soft. And it's because we have it so great in America. You see so many people that moved to America that came up with nothing that spend their entire lives working hard to get where they want to get. You have so many Americans that are just out, you know, complaining that we aren't given what we want.
Yep. That you called it. And show another day when we have more time. I do have some theories of where our immigration system is. I think we should work on it to make it easier for legal immigration. I think that is a good thing, but it has to be legal, right? And then I will call those people, number one, they will be aliens, and if they pass a citizenship test, they'll be Americans.
Right on.
FM Talk 106.5 online at fmtalk1065.com. A dandy place to stream the station. You can also stream us through the TuneIn Radio app for your iPhone. What is the new iPhone? The iPhone?
iPhone XS Max.
So you could stream it there through the iTunes Store. Also, for Android users that are left in the lurch like me, you could do that through the Stitcher app. I like that one. I mean, or TuneIn Radio app is available through Google Play. So you go to iTunes and look for TuneIn Radio. You can go to Google Play and look for TuneIn Radio. It's a really cool app, too, because if you get a call or a text or something like that comes in, it pauses the audio. You can talk to Mama. You can talk to do whatever, and then you can pick up the show right there.
Options, not miss anything. Baby, options.
Many options out there for sure. We'll talk to Rob Holbert in just a second. I do want to grab a quick call here from Walt in Somerdale. Hey, Walt.
Hey, fellas. How are y'all doing? And Miss Kelly.
Hi, Walt.
You know, Miss Kelly, I am so glad you're on this radio show to keep some kind of civility to these two knuckleheads that you have to work with.
I got to agree with that.
But on the other hand, now, Sean, I think you said a few minutes ago that when you were growing up, you had a Russian foreign exchange alien student your house?
That is correct. Ilya. Yes, Ilya, who lived in our house. Yes.
Well, my next question is, When's your subpoena coming down from Mueller?
Right, I'm pretty sure, like I said, there's a possibility there was collusion. He would go out with me my senior year, go out to some parties, and there might have been some collusion going on there. You know, your Russian exchange student. Hey, girls who didn't pay attention to me before, did I introduce you to he speaks Russian. Oh, really?
Well, and on top of that, you've had several phone calls with our president prior to the election and after the election.
So you think...
I mean, that's just going to be the nail in the coffin right there.
That's fine. Because I could use the rest. You know, if they want to... I'm tired. You know, if they want to incarcerate me for a while, I could use the rest.
You want to go to jail.
Yeah. It'd be, you know... I could use the rest. I'm tired. Walt, thanks for calling
y'all
me.
Y'all have a great weekend.
Thank you, man.
You too.
Like I said, I was collusion back in 1988, 89. So that's me. Also collude with this guy, although he's already been on all the watch list out there. Rob Holbert from Lanyap joining us now. Hey, Rob.
Yeah, I've been banned from everything as well. Yes. Yeah.
Shadow banned or just banned?
I don't know. Just banned. I don't do the Twitter a whole lot. It's not one of those things that I find really worth my time.
You're missing out. There's all kind of valuable.
I just think mostly it's like a lot of hot takes and a lot of like, you know, jokes and that's fine. It's
you know
all
what?
Good,
but you know what I got to say about that?
Late at night to have a few beers and say something, put something on there wrong and end up in trouble.
You know what I want to say about that? About what you just said about Twitter? That's completely completely accurate. Yeah. let's talk about what's in the new Lanyap. As maybe for the first time, I've seen the rosary displayed on the front cover of Lanyap.
I was glad that somebody had some rosary beads around. We're talking about the church. You know, obviously, the nationwide, there's and worldwide, really, there's been a big issue that blew out of the jury investigation in Pennsylvania and it sort of swept through the church again about molestation, priests having, you know, improper contact with young people or other people. And, you know, we're looking at it locally. There's been a lot of calls for the church to open up and to basically confess its sins to the people. The Knights of Columbus actually put out a nationwide call saying that the church needs to open up and let people see what has happened. And so what we're talking about is what happened in Mobile and, you know, interviewing the bishop and just looking at what's going on here, if anything's going to happen here.
Well, I mean, what is, can you give us the quick run through the story that would there be something? Is it decided diocese by diocese, or is it decided from on up the chain and comes down? How does that work?
Well, I don't know that it's decided diocese by diocese, but you look at states. Once we've already got, I think, five states now that are the attorneys general in those states are opening up investigations into the diocese, like happened in Pennsylvania. So, you know, the church may obviously probably would have to be the one to say, okay, this is going to be. It may have to come from Rome, but if it doesn't come from Rome, it's likely to come from. It could come from the law enforcement officers in the states themselves. So, you know, I mean, certainly our local church didn't jump up and down and say, yeah, come on over and let's look through the records. I don't think that's going to be something that's going to happen immediately without at least the church from Rome saying, hey, let's do this, or local law enforcement officials saying, we're going to look into these things. But Mobile had a pretty... Mm-hmm. There were a lot of bad things that happened here.
Yeah.
And you know, there's some pretty shocking stories about the way people were moved around. In one instance, a guy who the bishop at that time knew the guy had confessed to three incidents. He was moved up to another parish up in Montgomery, and then they found out another instance and finally got rid of him. But people were sort of outraged by the fact that he'd been moved there, and that's just one example. Mm-hmm.
That's cover story. Also, in your column, Damn the Torpedoes, you start talking about Steve Marshall, Attorney General of the state of Alabama, of course, on the ballot in November to keep the job. And I think you described the Attorney General is trying to scrape the Bentley mud off his shoes to keep his job as AG. Well, what's your issue here?
I don't know if he's trying very hard or not. You know, he came in and spoke with us the other day, and we talked to him a lot, and I asked him a lot of questions about his intentions regarding looking into what occurred with Bentley and with Luther Strange. And, you know, essentially what he told me was, he's not going to do that. He argued quite a bit about whether what Luther did was illegal or unethical. He said he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't have done that. But whether it was illegal is a different question. But he also told me, essentially, he said that the special prosecutor used in Bentley's case could have actually looked into Luther Strange, and he just wouldn't know it. We just wouldn't know because of the grand jury secrecy, and that it's he can't look into that. He can't tell us that. So it could have already been done. We'll never know. And that basically, at the end of it, it just, you know, his attitude was, you know, we're just never going to know the answer to those things. We're never going to know the answer to the dark money that Bentley used to pay Rebecca and others. We're not going to ever know. We're never going to really investigate the concept of whether Luther Strange took a bribe.
You're talking about the Drummond the case up in.
I'm talking about Drummond. I'm talking about walking into the governor's office when you're in charge of an investigation, and walking in and asking for a job. I don't know how that's not the.
Although, can I, but let me play. Okay. Well, let me play devil's advocate for a second, because I probably are closer to where you're coming from on this than not. But I could argue against that and say, were you in the room? Do you know what the conversation was?
Well, and I could argue against that and say that's what's called an investigation, Sean.
But if you have the two people that were in the room being
if you don't investigate it, Sean, you don't know. If you just assume that there's only two people in the room, or that's it. Do we even know there were only two people in the room?
Well, that's what was said.
Do we know anything about it? Do we know if anybody recorded it? Do we know any of those things? Because nobody investigated it. We don't know those things. Those are assumptions.
And I can argue that the assumption is also that there's something, you know, that there was something exchanged of value here in that. I mean,
that's pretty clear, though. That's clear. What's clear is that there are two things that are clear. Bentley was being investigated by the Attorney General's office.
That's true.
Luther Strange went over and talked to him and was appointed to the U.S. Senate. That's a thing of value.
Correlation is not causation.
Those are not arguable facts.
Correlation is not causation.
Okay, but again,
once again, I agree with you. I'm just saying.
I think that's a really easy way to get out of doing an investigation. But, you know, we can say, well, geez, we didn't see this occur, so why go look into it? I mean, that's the attitude that I see being taken, and I think that it's the wrong attitude.
All right, very good.
I think Steve Marshall's a nice guy, and it seems like a great guy.
I like the Attorney General,
Sure, he's a very nice gentleman, but I think that he's pretty much said that this deal is done if he's the Attorney General, and I think that's sad that the biggest scandal that we've had in years in the governor's office is just going to be whitewashed over.
All right, one more item here before we wrap up, because you said something to us during the news break here that the the funding for the Dollar General Bowl. I mean, we just got done talking about a lot of Dollar General Bowl came up a lot because we're talking about, of course, the stadium move and Senior Bowl and Dollar General Bowl. What is the story here with Dollar General?
Well, the deal on the Dollar General is that the city puts $1.15 million per year into the Dollar General. That's the agreement we have. What we've always gotten back was the sponsorship money that was raised by the bowl. So when this all first started, when it was GMAC and that kind of thing, we generally got back about $900,000 a year. So we put in 1.15, we got back 900. So we're putting in roughly about couple hundred thousand dollars. That has sunk now. GoDaddy last year got $200,000 in sponsorship. So that's turned our basic, what we're putting into it, it's about $950,000 a year now.
Wow.
Into this bowl game. And so the question of that, you know, there's in the story that Dale East did, and it's really interesting, but there's, of course, there's an analysis of the money, and, impact, fiscal impact is $255,000 to $292,000. But of course, then you get into the direct spending for the game. You know, they're claiming that it's $9 million. That overall impact at almost $20 million. It creates almost 130 jobs, and and in tax money generates $400,000 to the city. So, you know, you get into those things, and it's, you know, maybe there's an argument that it's worthwhile, I guess, but it's, but you still, when you look at it, that money that's coming back to the city has drastically decreased.
All right. So, because, I mean, there's part of that is the alchemy of the growth of tax revenue, right? I mean, it's always this, yes, the city has spent, or whatever entity spends this much, but it brings people in, and then you have the, you know, hey, here's what it gets us in lodging tax, here's what it gets us in sales tax, on down the line. And those numbers are you know, they see, I guess for a guy like me, they're hard to comprehend sometimes. You just have to take the economist's word for it.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of always feel that way, too. It's sort of one of these things of, geez, you know, how does that one bowl game generate $20 million? I don't get it. But maybe it's just because I'm a simpleton. I don't get those things. But it's sort of, you know, it seems like that is a lot of impact. You know, that would, I mean, do local businesses that generate $1 million a year, do they have $20 million of impact on the community? I don't know. But it just seems like a lot of financial impact for something like that. But the bottom line is, we know that we're giving 1.15, we're getting back about 200,000 now versus 900,000 before. So we know that there's, you know, a $700,000 difference in that, what we used to do.
Do you think your readers, when they open up this week's issue, will be surprised by these numbers, or is this something that's kind of been rumbling in the underground, and it's finally just being, you know, the spotlight's being put on it by your journalists?
Well, I think it's going to be surprising to a lot of people to see that bowl game. I don't know if anybody's going to be surprised to say that bowl game is not generating as much sponsorship as it once did. I think maybe the surprise may be that how much the city is putting into it and not getting back anymore. You know, that the difference, what it's actually costing the city now is much greater than what it used to be.
There it is.
And I wonder if the reason that sponsorship money, or one of the reasons that sponsorship money's dropped off so much, is just the increase in bowl games, with the NCAA adding so many bowl games. And then you see, I mean, it's usually not one of the biggest bowl games in the country, but that has to be a big reason why that sponsorship money's fallen off so far.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't know if it's just that those things, or that the name of the bowl has changed a couple times, with the headline sponsor maybe not as no pun intended, sexy as before, as when it was GoDaddy. You know, maybe those things are part of it. I don't know. But it certainly has taken a plunge.
All right, Rob, remind folks, too, if they're going to pick up this copy or any of the copies of Land Yap, how do they do it?
All right, guys, you can pick us up at about 1,500 spots all over Mobile, Baldwin County. You're in the pink and purple boxes. You can also get us online at landyapmobile.com. Or if you want us sent to your house for $1 a week, we can do it. Come, go online and just sign up for home delivery, and we'll get you taken care of.
Great stuff, Rob. As always, we appreciate what y'all are doing and the research y'all are doing, and I can't wait to dig into this article from Dale Leash. Thank you, man.
All right, guys. Y'all have a great day.
Will do. Rob Holbert with Land Yap, and we're coming right back. More of Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Hey, thank you, Kane. Phone number, text line, 343-0106. You looked at your credit card statement lately. You got into shock there by the interest rate. Interest rates are climbing on all kinds of loans and debt in this country, obviously, as the economy has picked up, so the interest rates go up. You know, you can actually roll all your credit card debt into one monthly payment at a lower fixed interest rate. Listen to this. Folks at Lightstream offering credit card consolidation loans from 5.89% APR with auto pay. So national average 18% APR, and believe me, higher than that in a lot of places, and it's going to continue to go up. How about this? You save that money big time when you lower that interest rate. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000. You can even get your funds as soon as the day that you apply. And Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a great interest rate and no fees. I mean, why do you work on the credit rating if you're not going to get some benefit from it, right? Here's how it works. Y'all can also, on top of the great rates at Lightstream, get a special discount when you go to the website lightstream.com/Sullivan. S-U-L-L-I-V, as in victory, A-N. the website LIGHTSTREAM.com/my last name Sullivan. Subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit Lightstream.com/Sullivan for more information. All right, 8:57. I want to, a couple things here. Midday show, I want to look more into the story that Landyap has about the Dollar General Bowl. Pretty interesting. You look at the dollar, because you gotta ask questions. And I do know there are economists out there that run these numbers. And just because I am not an economist doesn't mean they're not true. But we need to dig into them. You know, the city spends X. It's okay. Mardi Gras is a prime example.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've talked about this before in the discussions around the Civic Center. Mardi Gras costs the city. You could say, well, you got to have the Civic Center. You got to have law enforcement. You got to have the barricades. You got to have all these things, you know, all this stuff, all this money that's spent. But then you look at the stats of what that brings in revenue to the city, and it ends up that money that the city spends makes the city back more money. So, I mean, it's a capital investment in a weird way in government.
And I have to guess that once this news, if it does catch on in Mobile, I think there's going to be a lot of people calling for Mobile to let the game go,
mm-hmm.
to not pay for it. And it'll be really interesting to see once South Alabama, if South Alabama builds a new on-campus stadium like everyone expects them to, and the expectations were also that the Dollar General Bowl, along with the Senior Bowl, would move from Ladd Peebles to the new South Alabama campus, whether the city of Mobile will even then be even more, you know, told by the people not to spend money on it because the game will be at South Alabama's campus and they'll see these stats.
But you would still say that the money would be spent inside the city.
Right.
And I think when you give the Mardi Gras analogy, that's one of those deals where you only understand it once you are here on the ground in the middle of and getting hit in the head by some beads. Do you understand just how much the economic, I mean, force that comes with,
sure.
you know, 2-3 weeks of revelry.
And that one is probably the easiest explanation. That one people, I think most people would argue that, okay, that's a good place for the city to spend some money. They get mm-hmm. it back. On the other end of the spectrum may be something like Dollar General. And where do people sit with that? We'll talk about that more. Coming up, this show, Mobile Mornings, will be back tomorrow morning at 6. I'll be back at noon today for Midday Mobile. Keep up with us online, fmtalk1065.com. Get the podcast there as well.